But we are now on Mem Aleph Amid Beis at the Mishnah. Yom Tov Arishon Shel Chag Shechan Liyos B'Shavis. So the first day of Yom Tov, turns out it falls to be on Shabbos. What's the issue? What's the problem? You're not allowed to carry on Shabbos unless there's an Eruv, you know? So you're not allowed to carry your lulav. So originally, Kol Ha'am, the whole nation, Melichenes Lulavan Levesa Knesses, you would all bring their lulavs to what's called the Beis HaKnesses. Namacharas, the next day. So that was Erev Shabbos, and everyone's allowed to carry, right? So when they came for Mariv, or they came for Mincha, they all brought their lulavim with them, that's no problem, and they left them there. The next day, which is Sukkot morning, which is Shabbos, Mashkimin, they get up early, Uboyin, and they go. What do they have to get up early for? Yeah, maybe you gotta have extra time, you know? I guess I had extra time to work all the details out. So, apparently you need a little extra time. So they got up early, and they came. Kalech be'echad makir eshaloi. And everyone managed to recognize which one was his. So, how long could it possibly take? Okay. But they recognized which one was theirs. Maybe they had a nice, cool case or something. V'noitle, and you would take it. And then the Mishnah has a funny line, mipnei, because. She'amru chachamim. The chachamim said, Einadam yoytzedei chavasa v'yantav harishoyin. A person is not does not fulfill his obligation on the first day of Yom Tov, but lulav shel chaveroi, with his friends lulav. There's something funny about the Mishnah, no? Like, what's is there a problem here? What do you mean because? What's because? So it sounds like the Mishnah is basically asking the question without asking it. Why does everybody have to make sure they get their own lulav? Let everybody bring their lulav in. And then, you know, first come, first serve, you know, just take the first one that's there. What do you got to go figuring out which one's yours or not yours? Right, so that's what the Mishnah is saying, right? So that's what seems to be going on here, is that Gemara just wants to explain, the Mishnah wants to explain why they can just take their own. Why couldn't they just take the first one that that they saw, you know? Yeah. In any case, v'sharim ha'isachag, and all the rest of the days of Sukkot, adam yetzirei chavasa v'lulav shel chaveiro. A person can be yotze with someone else's lulav. So this is only an issue on the first day. By the way, what's going on b'zman hazeh? We do this today?
No, we don't.
What? Why? Why don't we take lulav on the first day? It's Doraisa. Yeah.
It's Shabbos.
Well, but you see from the Mishnah that they used to take their lulav on Shabbos. Right? So it's not like Shabbos pushes off lulav. Anybody know? Why is it that we don't take lulav when it's Shabbos?
Who can carry?
They couldn't carry either. That's the whole point. They brought it to the shul, Erev Shabbos.
It's also a muxa, like trees on the
But it's not muxa because it's the mitzvah. Oh, shofar also. Shofar, same thing. Shofar also is a mitzvah. It doesn't make a difference that it's Shabbos. There's a mitzvah of shofar. How come we don't blow shofar? What are shonas kalios for Shabbos? So what's the answer? There's a famous gzeira de rabba. It wasn't really rabba that originated, but somehow made it famous. I don't know. So it's called the gzeira de rabba, that we're afraid that people are going to end up carrying things in Rosh Hashanah. Why weren't they afraid that people carrying things in Rosh Hashanah? I don't know. Is there a difference between shofar and lulav? Is there a reason why maybe there was discrepancies between the two? I don't know. Something to think about. But that's what used to happen. It used to happen people actually taka brought their lulavim to shul before Shabbos. But the rest of the time they could use anybody else's because you can be yotze with your friend's lulav. Okay. Mishnah continues. Rabbi Yossi Omer. Rabbi Yossi said, Yontav Arishon Shel Chag Shechal Yos B'Shabbos. The first day of Sukkot that ends up on Shabbos, Shachach v'haytzi es ha-lulav v'rishus ha-rabim. If a person forgot and did carry his lulav in Rishus ha-rabim, poter, he's exempt. Exempt from what? If he carried it already, so he's got it in shul, he left it at home.
Yeah.
and he carried it to shul. He wasn't one of those people that thought ahead and left it in shul before Shabbos. So he carried it. And then he realized, oh my gosh, what am I doing? It's not Yontif, it's Shabbos. I can't carry on Shabbos.
So he sinned.
He sinned. So what does he have to do to him? Fix his sin? Was it on purpose or was it an accident? Was mazid or shoygig? It's shoygig, you forgot. So what does a person have to do if he does, he violates a malach of a shoygig?
Korban
chatas. Korban chatas. Chayv a korban chatas, a sin offering. A korban chatas. So what does putter mean? He's putter from korban chatas. He's exempt from bringing a korban chatas. So Riyasi holds that if it was Yom Tov Rishon and it was Shabbos, and he carried his lulav and Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, he should have been chayav a korban chatas. And he is putter. That's a pretty big chiddush, right? In other words, we know you're allowed to shake it, because that's the mitzvah of the Torah, but what gives you the right to carry it? You got to think ahead. You didn't think ahead, you got problems. Okay, so he's chayav a korban. He's not chayav skila or karis. Why? What in the world is going on here? You ever thought? So when Mishnah finishes, Mipnei Shaitzi'ai B'Rishos. Doesn't mean Rishos, Rishos Aram, Rishos Ayachid. Rishos means with permission. He carried it with permission. No, he didn't. What do you mean he carried it with permission? He has permission to do the mitzvah. He doesn't have permission to do Averis. What does it mean he did it with permission? What does Rashi say? Shaitzi'ai B'Rishos. Rashi says, B'Rishos Mitzvah. The permission of the mitzvah. Shahayatarid ba mitzvah. The reason why he carried was because his mind is all messed up with what thoughts?
Mitzvah
thoughts. Mitzvah thoughts. And mechashev, and he was thinking, and he's involved, and he's all excited, he has zrizus to do it. Because of that enthusiasm, he made a mistake, v'shachach shahu Shabbos. Totally forgot it was Shabbos. He's so excited about Yom Tov. He's so excited. That's the first day of Sukkot. Totally forgot it was Shabbos. Because some Rabbi Yosi holds, Tov, it's bar mitzvah. If his mistake was a result of that type of enthusiasm and thought process, he's so caught up in the mitzvah, v'shagag, and therefore he made a shogeg, b'davar kares, in something as the chiyuv of kares, pater mikarban. He's exempt from a korban. It's a fascinating idea, right? Generally speaking, if a person violates a malacha b'shogeg, so, okay, you know, what would be like a normal case? Give me a normal case.
What?
A guy carried b'shogeg.
You're walking and all of a sudden in your pocket you realize you have a nap.
Okay. The guy carries something, you forgot he was carrying it, and then realized. Okay, maybe that would be an example. Yeah?
I have a question. What if you're carrying it in the air and you're carrying something that you accidentally forgot you have something that's in your pocket?
Like a couple coins?
Or like a pair of headphones or like something? Can you just leave it in there and just like, and like not touch it? Or like, because it looks like you're not supposed to be carrying it?
So, I think at that point, you don't think you have to dump it out on the spot. I think if it's already there, and it's in your pocket, and you're carrying it with your hand anyway, I think you can probably just continue walking where you need to go. You can double check. I think so. So that's a regular case of a shoygeg. So what's the difference in this shoygeg? This shoygeg, the guy didn't just forget it was Shabbos. What caused him to forget it was Shabbos is that he was involved in a mitzvah. And so that exempts him from the korban chatas. You guys have thoughts about this?
Why does it matter?
Yeah, like why is that of significance? Why does that matter? I don't have an answer. I just want to start thinking about it.
I mean, an eruv is a technique that button and your eyes. Like,
there's no eruv. There's no eruv. We're talking about no eruv. He carried. That's our daraisa. But because the cause of his forgetfulness was excitement for the mitzvah, so he's exempt from the chatas.
So, is it pure intentions? Like he did? Obviously, when someone's b'shogeg, they don't mean to do it,
but
in this case, his intention wasn't even like b'shogeg. It's not like he left keys in his pocket. His intention was to do mitzvah. Like the
the shogeg was out of like something more pure than just like forgetting.
But yeah, that's what makes sense, right? In other words, generally speaking, do you guys know what happens if a woman forgets to light Shabbos candles? That's right, she has to light an extra one the next week. Yeah, you know this halacha? It's a knas. It's a fine. That if a woman forgets to light Shabbos candles, she has to light an extra one for the rest of her life, starting the next week.
Oh, for the rest of her life.
The rest of her life. It's a fine. It used to be, in the olden days, that was light.
How many candles are you supposed to start off with?
Two.
Two?
You know the story?
No.
There was a family that lived in Eretz Yisrael. They were not religious Jews. And they did not want to send their daughter on the buses at the time because it was one of those tekufas, Rahman al-Etzlan, that the buses were blowing up. So they decided they're going to send their daughter to the closest school where she could be able to walk. Problem is, guess what? It was a religious school. So, okay, no, they're going to have to deal with it because they were more concerned for their daughter's life. Nebuch, you know, she'll have to learn a little Torah or whatever, too. So they sent her to the religious school. So she kept coming home every day with new information. And how come we don't do that, you know? So she came home one day and she said, Mommy, such a beautiful thing. Shabbos candles. You're supposed to light Shabbos candles. How come we don't light Shabbos candles? So she said, No, we don't do that. So the girl, I don't know exactly how old she was, but she was so bothered and so enthralled by the concept of Shabbos candles that she went to the makolet, Erev Shabbos, and you know she had some money, and so she said to the owner of the makolet, I need two Shabbos candles. So nobody buys two Shabbos candles. He thought that she was sent by her parents to buy Yahrzeit candles, you know, probably of Yahrzeit. So he gave her two Yahrzeit candles, yeah? She took them back to her room, and she didn't come downstairs for the meal. They always had a Friday night meal. And they're calling her, and she's a good girl. She always comes when called, and she didn't come. So they went to check on her in her room, and there she was in her room. I don't know if she was davening or whatever she was doing, and there were these two Yahrzeit candles lit. So they said, what is that for? Why do you have two candles? And she said, it's for Shabbos. One's for Ima, and one's for Abba. Now, they freaked out because they thought she was like, you know, she's an avelus for her parents, you know what I mean? Like, they really, like, they killed Chavez.
They killed Chavez,
and they're basically dead, you know?
They knew what
those
were, though?
Yeah, everybody knows Yahrzeit candles. So they were, like, in shock, and they felt so, they're like... So they started to be more makbid on Chavez the next week after realizing that, you know... Okay, whatever. But that was a Maisa Shahaya about how these people and it got religious. It all started with there was another Maisa with a candle. There was a woman married to this guy. They were not religious, and she was becoming religious, so she wanted to keep Shabbos. Her husband smoked, and she knew that's the Susparsha. You're not allowed to burn a fire. Every puff on a cigarette is Nisar Daraisa, igniting it a little bit more. So she wanted her husband not to smoke. So they went to the rabbi, and the rabbi said, let's make a deal. As long as the Shabbos candles are lit, so, you know, maybe you won't smoke, you know, just for so during the meal Friday night, you know, you won't smoke when the Shabbos candles are lit. Deal? She says, okay, you know, I'll do that for my wife. Okay, fine. So the next week, you know, she bought bigger Shabbos candles, right? Until a few weeks late, you know those 24-hour candles? And he didn't smoke. Shabbos candles were lit. So you got to be clever the way that approach these things. Anyway, so it does seem like you hit us on the right track just as a svara. We're not seeing this inside, we're not seeing Rishon, Machron, whatever, just as a thought process. So if a person is carrying, why is he carrying on Shabbos? The answer is because he's careless. The woman that doesn't light Shabbos candles, why is there a knas? Why does she have to light an extra candle? She's being careless with Kedusha Shabbos, especially in the olden days when that was the light. That was the light they had. Nowadays we have electric lights, so there's a whole shaila. Does she have to add on a candle bisman is there or not, as long as the lights were on, you know? Okay, but be that as it may, it's a carelessness. But here, it's not a carelessness about Shabbos, right? What's the reason for his chutzah? His excitement for mitzvah. So if the Korban Chatos is there to make up for his carelessness towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu and his mitzvahs, so in this case, because what provoked it was not a carelessness, it may be a carelessness about Shabbos, but it was an excitement about a mitzvah lulav, apparently that mitigates the Chiyuv Chatos. Yeah? Okay. I once heard a word, Glucksman, this is from the Rav, told me, name of somebody else, I don't remember who was. He said, you know why? There are all kinds of avirus that, like this, Shabbos, right? Where a person, if he does something b'shoga, he has to bring a karpa. What about Bizman Hazeh? Bizman Hazeh, if a person violates avera, Shabbos. He's technically the kai of a karban chatas. Rav Blachman used to say, invest in cattle. Because when Beis HaMikdash is going to be rebuilt, there's going to be a lot of people bringing karban chatas. So if you want to make some money, invest in cattle now. But seriously, can a person do tshuva, bizman hazeh, if he can't bring the karban?
Isn't there
either?
No, isn't there something that you do?
I mean, you can learn the karban, right? You can learn about it. It's kilu, you bring it when you learn about karbanos. But
I'm going to respect certain prayers that you can do instead.
I don't know. Do tshuva, right? That's all we can do, bizman hazeh, tshuva. So somebody once said, you know why it's enough, bizman hazeh? Because in the times of Beis HaMikdash, when you could bring a Korban Chatas, the Aveira was worse. Bizman hazeh, when you don't see a Kaddish Baruch Hu so clearly, there isn't a Beis HaMikdash, so the Aveira is not as bad. It's a Mashal Amada Vardarma, you know? You don't bring a Korban because it's not the same degree of rebelliousness against the Kaddish Baruch Hu Bizman hazeh. Okay, anyway. So that's the sheet of Rav Yossi the Mishnah. So the Gemara has a question. How do you know this? How do you know what? So the Gemara didn't say. So Rashi says, how do you know that a person cannot be yote with someone else's lulav? So the Gemara doesn't just quote that principle, that issue. It quotes two things. Did you notice this? You didn't see it yet. The Tanur Rabbanus, learning the Braisa, rabbis taught. We know the next word is lachem, which is what we're going to focus on, right? You have to take it. What's ulakachtem? Because the ulakachtem means, it doesn't say velokach. Ulakachtem means velokach atem. You have to take it, yeah? Why does it have to spell out you? Why doesn't it just say velokach? Ulakachtem shetehe lakicha biyad kol echad ve'echad. Everyone has to have their own. Good? Big chiddush, right?
Not really.
It's obvious, no? What do you mean? It's a lulav. Of course I have to have my own. Is there some kind of havamina that everybody doesn't have to have their own tefillin? So you want to try to come up with an answer? Why is this a chiddush? You don't want to try. You just don't know. You can try. Me, who wants to try? Why would the Gemara say, oh, you would have thought that there's good enough for Klal Yisrael to have one arba minim set. One bouquet. You don't have to have your own. What in the world? Who would say such a thing? No one. The Gemara said it. The Gemara is saying, that's a chiddush, because it says lakachtem. Had it not said lakachtem, it just said lakach, we would have thought there's one for Klal Yisrael.
But that's why it says lachem after.
That, you have to have your own. That's what we'll see in a minute.
Yeah, no.
And it can't be somebody else's. But maybe as long as you have one in your hand, you can borrow someone else's tefillin.
Yeah, but
you have to have tefillin.
Yeah, that's why the Rav says lakachtem lachem. I don't get what this question is asking.
Why doesn't it say v'lakach lachem?
Why doesn't it? Because
well, you're right. Lachem kind of builds on the lakachtem. It's true. It does build on itself. But the first stage of the development of the idea is that you might have thought that Klal Yisrael can have one.
You can't do it all at the same time if you only have one.
Right. So, Bezdin will do it. Kiddush HaChodesh. Bezdin does Kiddush HaChodesh for all Klal Yisrael. HaChodesh HaZeh. Lachem. Rosh Chodashim. Lachem! Did you Makadesh the Chodesh?
It's not a tangible thing, though. I don't know, you can say, can you say the same thing about Sukkah and just make one Sukkah for everybody and have one person?
We discussed that a little bit last time, I said, yeah, a little bit. You can have one Sukkah about Klal Yisrael.
I don't know, but by Sukkah, what does it say? Does it say, make a Sukkah or every person should make a Sukkah?
Yeah, that, so let's look at the Gemara again. Take a look at the Gemara. Gemara talks about the, everyone has to have their own, but one could be, and then there was a shita, everyone has to have their own. Remember? One shita like that. In any case, I believe it is the Meiri who does have a comment on this, and he says, because lulav helps Klal Yisrael. It addresses, remember we said if you shake it in all the directions to prevent the bad precipitation. Remember this? Yeah. That when you send it in all the directions, you're doing something with all the winds and all the precipitations and the tal and the rain, yeah? There's a whole process of kapara over here. The Meiri says, Shekevan shemitzvah zubo leratzois. It appeases HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's a mitzvah of appeasement. It's a certain type of, almost like a karban. So one could have imagined that that's something that Sanhedrin does or something like that. Kamash Malan, everybody has to do it on their own. That's a chiddush, because what do I have to do with appeasing HaKadosh Baruch Hu? I thought that was interesting. Okay, in any case, so it goes on to say, Lachem, Lekachtem Lachem, Misha Lachem. It doesn't mean that you have to have your own, but it has to be, you have to own it. Tefillin, you have to have tefillin, meaning you have to put it on your body. But you don't have to own them, you can borrow someone else's. Here also, you could have imagined you just have to have a lulav and esrog. It doesn't have to technically be yours, you just have to be able to shake one. Nope. Has to be mishalachem, you have to own it. L'hoitzias ha-sha'ul v'sa-gazul, which excludes sha'ul is borrowed, and gazul, of course, is stolen. Mikan v'chachot, from here the chachamim said, in arum yoytzi l'chavasa b'yom tef ha-rishon shal-chag. A person does not fulfill his obligation on the first day of Yom Tov Sukkos with lulavoi shel chaveroi, with his friend's lulav, he has to own it himself. But there is a way out in a certain sense. Ela im kein, unless nisan eloi b'matana, your friend gave it, his friend gave it to him as a gift. Right? You guys have all heard of this, right? Umaise, Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Ben Azariah, Rabbi Akiva. This is not the Haggadah Shel Pesach, at least not yet. But here you have a whole slew, a group of some of our greatest Chachamim. Shehayubayin b'sfina. They were coming back to Eretz Yisrael in a ship. V'loi haya lulav ala Raman Gamliel. The only one of them had a lulav was Raman Gamliel. Bilvad, alone. Shalakhoi be'elev zuz. He bought it for 1,000 zuz. Sounds like a lot. How do you know? How do you know how much that is? So if you could buy a goat for 2 zuzim, then why would you, a lulav for 1,000? Wow! Now that's one expensive lulav. Now I don't know about inflation and when Chagadi was written exactly. I don't know how much goats went for the times of Gamliel, but it apparently was an exorbitant amount of money. So Nitala Rabbi Gamliel, v'yatza boy. Rabbi Gamliel took his Arba Minim, assuming it wasn't just a lulav, right? Probably means his Hoshana, his whole set. And he was Yotze with it. And he gave it to Yeshua as a gift. Nataloi, can you imagine paying like, you know, $1,000 for a lulav and esrog and just giving it to someone else as a gift? Not bad, huh? The Yotze boy, and he was Yotze with it. And Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. So Rabbi Yeshua gave it to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah as a gift. B'matana. He took it and was yotei with it. The son of Matan Rabbi Akiva, and he gave it as a gift to Rabbi Akiva. Apparently, Rabbi Akiva was the youngest of the Schevra. Natali Rabbi Akiva, he took it, he was yotei with it. And he gave it back to Rabbi Gamliel. Asks the Gemara, why do you have to inform me? Why do you need to say that he gave it back? Milsa agavur chay kamash malan. A word by the backside, it is coming to teach us. Yeah, agavur chay, meaning by the way, tangentially, it's teaching us something else, tangentially by the side over here. What's it teaching us? Matana manasla hachzir, a gift on condition that it's returned. Shma matana, it is, its name is still a gift. Have we all heard of this before? There's a concept called a matana manas lahachzir. It's a very funny concept. When you give somebody a present, so usually you're giving it to them and they get to keep it forever. If you give it to someone on the condition that when they're finished they give it back to you, is that really a gift? So Albert says, no, that's the whole point. It's not a gift because you can't keep it. So the concept, you ready for this? Is there something called a condition? In Torah, in Halacha, what?
Gifts don't come with conditions. That's why it's a gift.
So ownership can have conditions. It's just that usually the condition can't mitigate the ownership. That's, I guess, the biggest chiddush here. If you say, here, I'm giving you the lulav on condition, you jump up and down 20 times, so we'll all agree that that's okay, right? It's yours. You just got to do this, and then it becomes yours.
A gift, you're doing
the
change.
What?
For some reason, someone wants you to jump 20 times, you're changing your jumps for a gift.
It's like a... It's money, you're saying. You're paying for it?
No, it's not money. It's a type of exchange.
It's a gift with a condition.
No. No, because, like, if you tell me, all right, here's a gift, on condition that, you know, you give me a gift in my
book.
Right, that's a condition. If you tell somebody, here's a gift on the condition, and you go buy them something, right?
That's not a gift.
That's a condition. When you're telling somebody, jump 20 times and I'll give you this gift, you're basically jumping 20 times for the gift.
That's a payment.
To earn a gift.
Yeah,
it's
not like
a gift.
It's more like a mecca.
Gift is no conventional gift.
It's an exchange.
You see, the thing is that not everything that we do, what's the right word? When you say that something has value, it can be used as money. What do you call that? No. Not everything is a. Come on, any economics people over here? What do you call the thing that's used to pay for something? What do you call it? It's called a commodity, right? There's commodity. Not everything is a commodity. Not everything can be sold. Not everything is right? You don't sell jumping up and down. If you could, you could call it a barter.
Trade.
But it's not a trade. That's the thing.
Exchange.
It's not. That's the point. It's not money, and it's not a commodity.
But for some reason, this 20 minutes is going to make somebody happy. For some reason,
yeah.
If I do
what?
20 times, people
yes.
Give you something for jumping 20 times. You're getting some type of hana from it. You know?
Okay, that may be true, but it doesn't change the fact that the way we have to look at it. No, but the way we have to look at it, I'm saying, the way Halacha looks at it, is that that's not a commodity and it's not money.
Well,
and therefore, it's in a category called a condition.
But what
if it's on the condition you give me something else, then you're right. That's what we call a barter.
I don't think it's a barter either. I think it's just like something that gives out. Like I don't know how to classify.
That's why. But that's how we're going to classify. That's I think if I'm thinking about this right, that's how Halacha views these types of things. That's what's called a condition. If I'm not really getting anything in exchange, you're just doing something. But that's what makes this even more tricky because you are getting something. You're getting the object back. But getting the object back is again not a barter, and it's not money. So because of that, apparently that's legit. If I give you a gift and I attach a condition to it, so it becomes yours contingent on the fulfillment of the condition. So here too, I'm giving you a gift. It's contingent on you fulfilling a certain condition. What's the condition? That when you're finished using it and it'll be yours for the duration, then you give it back to me.
Okay, I think that's the condition.
But didn't you say that the condition can't be greater than the ownership of it? I don't know.
What do you mean by greater?
Meaning like, once you gain ownership, if the condition is make you lose ownership, then...
Right. So that's where it gets... That's the biggest chiddush of this. If, for example, you want to compare this, a fascinating area of Torah is gittin. When a man divorces his wife. So the get... Mm-hmm. Has to be a permanent severing mm-hmm. of their relationship. So what about conditions? Wait a minute. If there's a condition, then they're not really separated, are they? Because she has to do something. Well, it depends. If all she has to do is jump up and down 20 times, so she jumps up and down and she's permanently separated from him. So that type of condition is legit. But any condition which never ends, then that's not legit. because it never severs the relationship. So you could have something very parallel in those types of areas as well, where the definition is a present, which we would expect it meant that he gets to keep it forever. That's the present. Definition of get is that it separates them forever. So anything that mitigates how to define the thing itself, the matana or the get, then it's illegitimate. So if he says, I'm divorced from you on the condition that you never marry that guy, ever, well, then she's not divorced from him vis-a-vis that guy, is she? Right? It's not a condition in that case. She's still married to him vis-a-vis that guy. So that's not a get. So you would have expected that matana, manas lahavs here, well, that's the matana. Like, that's not a condition. That's a condition that invalidates the gift. So that's the big kiddush over here. There's a concept of matana, manas lahavs here. We do consider it a condition, even though you would have expected perhaps not. Okay, but in any case, this is a fascinating thing. Ki had amar rava. And this is exactly what Rava said. Halach esr exam manashech ziruli. If a person says, here, this esr will be yours on the condition you return it to me, and he returns it, yatsa, then he was yotze. Lo yechzira, if he did not return it, lo yatsa, then he is not yotze. He was not yotze.
If he got as a matana.
Yeah, that's the case. The case was that a person says, here's my esrig, I'm giving it to you as a gift on the condition that you return it to me. So the guy takes it, and then the language is yatsabo, and he was yotze with it. It doesn't mean he was yotze with it. That's contingent. It means he did the action. He shook the lulu, he picked it up, whatever. So then it simply depends.